to God. Amen. Father, we do thank you that it's not by our power, not by our might, but by your Spirit that things are accomplished in this realm. And Lord, you've given us the power over the serpent and the scorpion. And Lord, we pray that we could walk worthy, that we could step upon those things and crush them in Jesus' name. The things that bind, the things that come to destroy, the things that come to afflict. And Lord, we lift up Pastor John right now, that the words that he speaks today would be words of life, that they would be words of power, they would be words that would set the captive free. Lord, we receive it now. We ask you to bless it mightily. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I can't believe how fast time flies. I was thinking about that with Julia just the other day. You know how my oldest daughter is 40, and she helped her get her first job when she first got out of high school, and we'd already known Julie for years then. And but so many things, time, and you know, as everybody always says, the older you get, the faster it goes. It's true. Somehow or other, I don't know how it happens, but all the clocks in my house go faster every year. Digitally faster. But here it is. It's just around the corner is 2019. Y2K, remember that? 19 years ago, the end of civilization. Christmas is 9 days away. Everybody's preparing. Everybody's getting ready, you know, in some way or other, putting up lights, putting up trees, putting up decorations, buying gifts, running all over the place, going crazy, you know, planning meals and get-togethers. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, the ladies had their ornament exchange, and they were all beating each other up and stealing each other's ornaments. Not quite that bad, but I know they have a really good time. Last Sunday, we had our banquet. And like I said, it was a great time. And all of that is in preparation for Christmas, which is celebrated around the world by almost 2.5 billion people. That's how many Christians there are in this world. 33% of the world, 34% is Christian, larger than any other religion, no matter what anybody tries to tell you. And all the planning and all the work and all the preparation that goes in Christmas, it's just, wow, this is a busy time of year. And God himself is also a big planner for the same time, too. And maybe it wasn't the same on the calendar as we know it, but it was still the same, about the same thing. He was planning on bringing his son Jesus into the world. And if you know the scriptures, we know that Jesus came into the world at just the right time. Because God is a perfect planner. Over 300 prophecies proclaimed his coming. All kinds of things that were set in motion, all kinds of preparations, everything had to do, so many things had to do with God planning. The whole New Testament, the whole Old Testament was really just a foreshadowing of the coming of the Messiah. All those different feasts and everything all had something to do with the coming of the Messiah. We read about some of those preparations in Mark 1. It says, in the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to meet him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair. Man. Can you imagine that scratchy, itchy stuff? That's how it felt. Had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Organic. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Luke, we see a little bit more talking about how God used John the Baptist to prepare the coming of Jesus, prepare the people to receive Christ, to prepare their hearts to be, you know, open and willing to receive the Messiah, Jesus. In Luke 1, 5 through 17, it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly." Now, there's a couple good people. "But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot," not the man Lot, but by, you know, either the straws or the dice or something like that, "according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear." I would be too. "But the angel said to him," what the angels always say to God's people, "do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was John's whole life. God brought him to this earth for one overwhelming, overriding purpose: to prepare the way, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, preparation is a big part of every job, isn't it? I know right now my daughter's preparing for having twins. My wife is preparing. She's sewing all the time. You know, I know, I'm sure the Herrings are preparing for having a baby coming along. You know, I mean, I was thinking about I-75, you know, this expressway over here. They've been working on that for what seems like forever, doesn't it? It's been about 2 years, and it's just going so slow. It's like, when are they going to be done with this? But the reason that it takes so long is because they can't just go out there and pour the cement. There's all kinds of preparatory work that has to be done. There's the surveying, there's the hiring of the contractors, there's the blueprints, the replacing the sewer lines, there's, you know, there's moving electrical lines, there's rebuilding bridges. I mean, there's putting all the barrels and barriers out there and rerouting traffic. I mean, there is so much that has gone on. They have to level the ground, they have to keep everything safe. They're doing all these things, and they have to do all that before they can finally just pour down that final cement and be done with it. In ancient times, when kings were going out to inspect their kingdom, advanced teams would go out ahead of the king, and they would do something like road work for I-75. And they would straighten out and they would smooth the road. They would look for every high spot, every low spot. They'd fill them in, high spots. They'd make sure the path was straight and people weren't going off, you know. They had everything all ready so that when the king went, there was no bumping and jarring and all kinds of problems. He would have a nice, smooth ride in his carriage, and his drink was sail would not, his ale or whatever he had at that time would not be spilling all over his royal robes. And this was John the Baptist's job. He was the one that was going out to prepare the way. But instead of working with roads, he was working with people's hearts. A little bit different, but still a lot of work. You know, I think the greatest miracle in the world is changing a heart. It's a lot easier to renew a road than it is to renew a heart. So John was helping people to get ready, helping to prepare them to understand, to be able to get ready, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was his job. So now, how willing are we to prepare ourselves to make a way for the Lord to work in our lives? John's whole life was dedicated to it. Are we willing to dedicate ourselves to prepare ourselves, to make ready our heart, our mind, ourself? So today I want to do is see how we can do that, how we can prepare our hearts to welcome the Lord more and more and more into our life, and to grow into the person, the mature Christian that God designed us to be. Because he created each one of us with a real purpose, just like John. Maybe not quite so bam, one thing like that, but we've all truly have a purpose, many purposes. We have many things that we're supposed to do. But we have an overriding ability within us to touch people in a certain way, a way that God wants us to touch others. The first thing we have to remember is that if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, who originally drew us to God by convicting us and convicting us of the sin in our heart, we never even would have gotten saved. In fact, we never would be able to do anything to please our Father without the Holy Spirit. Anything that we do that is not of the Spirit is of the flesh. And the Word tells us very plainly that we can't please God with acts of the flesh. Even when they're good acts, it's just still not pleasing, because God wants us to be led by His Spirit. Once we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, then we can prepare ourselves for ever greater, effectiveness for the Lord. That we can be someone who truly is making a difference in our world. Luke 3, 4, and 5 says, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. This is in Luke. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. I'm sure every one of us would love to have a straight path right to God's heart, where we could just jump in there and have no problem getting to God anytime we want, always there, always ready, always right there with Him, having that intimate relationship with God. We all want to be, I hope, we all want to be closer to God, but did you ever notice how life gets in the way? Doesn't it? Everything seems to get in the way. First, our flesh, and then everything else around us. And the devil's out there trying his best, and the world system is out there constantly trying to connive us. So this little section of Scripture right here gives us a checklist of four things. And I'm just going to briefly touch on it, but I want to give you the idea. I just want you to get the idea of how God wants us to make a straight way to get to Him. And what do we need to do to get there? And so we get this little checklist that says, it talks about the valleys, which are areas of our life that are lacking, They're like the potholes that we have to fill in. And then we have the mountains, which if we were going down that road, then that would be the excess that we'd need to level. Then we have the crooked roads, which where we get distorted because it's distorting or messing up our path. We're going off all over the place. And then we have the rough ways, where there's all kinds of things in the way, all these rough things, rocks and big junk piles of grass and little bushes and all kinds of stuff like that getting in our way. So first, let's get the idea of filling in the valleys by looking at a couple areas that we might be lacking in. So remember, the valleys are where we lack. I was thinking about different things, and I could have probably came up with 100 ways that we could lack. So I'm just trying to get the idea of how sometimes we have these valleys in our life where it tells us in that scripture there, every valley shall be filled in to make way for the Lord. So how do we fill in our valleys? What valley kind of valleys do we have? One I was thinking of was sometimes we have a valley that is a lack of attention to the things of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:6, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. And then one I'm sure we all know, 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Are we alert? Are we as alert to the things of God that we need to be? Think about that. God knows better than we know ourselves. He knows the way we are as humans. He knows how our minds operate. He knows how we have to live in this flesh thing, this temporary body that gives us all kinds of grief. He understands. Remember, it says he became human. He was tempted in every way, just like we were. So he understands our situation. He knows that even the best of us will sometimes slack off a little bit and maybe let our guard down. How many times have we just sort of floated along, getting by, doing what needed to be done, but not really paying attention to what's going on around us? Sometimes when I'm driving down the road and I'm talking to somebody in the car or on my Bluetooth thing, and I'll be talking, and then sure enough, I say, oops, I better get going. I just passed my exit. It's back about 5 miles. I do that regularly. And sometimes we've done it in a big way. Like one time, I'm sure Carol remembers this one. Way back, we were driving out to the East Coast, and we were going somewhere out there. I don't remember where, but we went one way on the expressway. We were supposed to go the other, and we didn't notice it. We were just talking and having a great old time. The whole family was in the car. About 100 miles later, we were following this road that we thought was the right road. We kept following it, and the road, by the time it was a highway at the beginning. By the time we turned around, we were in a neighborhood. And we. So sometimes we just sort of float by, you know, in a lot of things that we do, not just driving, but in life. In whatever it is, whatever area of your life that you do, everything, whatever thing that you do, because I don't know all the things that you do, but you do. But the things that you do every day, I bet there are times when you just go about those things and you're not even thinking about what you're doing. And that's sort of like how we are in our whole life, where we do things and we forget to think about God. We're not really alert to the spiritual realm. And that's what God is telling us, to be alert. That's why he tells us that, because he knows that we're not. So it's just the way it is. We can't afford to be like that. It's way too easy not to pay attention to the things of God, because there are so many things out there vying for our attention. But if we don't pay attention to the things of God, what happens is sooner or later, our passion for God begins to wane and we become lukewarm. And that's what God says he doesn't want. He doesn't like lukewarm at all. And what we're doing, instead of preparing for God to come into our hearts, when we're not alert, we're actually preparing for ungodliness to come into our hearts. Nature abhors a vacuum, hates a vacuum. So whenever there's an emptiness, something's going to fill it, right? Something's going to fill it. And we're supposed to let our mind dwell on whatever is excellent, praiseworthy, you know, true Jesus. Not on the things of this world. Another valley that needs to be filled up is our unbelief. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to fill up the valley of unbelief. Remember the Israelites? They didn't get to heaven because of the hardness of their hearts. They didn't believe anymore. They got hard against God. They lost their faith. Faith takes work. Faith does take work. Because we have to learn to trust God. That's what it's really all about. We have to make ourselves get close to God. We need to get to know Him. Right there in that verse, it tells us to pray in the Spirit. In other words, to keep on praying. If we want to build our faith in God, we need to spend time with Him in prayer and studying His Word, getting to know Him, you know, and spending time with other Christians, getting involved in the things of God, developing a thankful attitude, recognizing God in our life throughout the day. One more valley, and then I'm going to move on. Another valley is non-attendance or not fellowshipping with other Christians, thinking that I'm fine by myself. I don't need anybody else. It's just me and God. We got it together. Acts 2:42 talks about the fellowship of believers, and it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our walk with God, our destiny, our growth is intertwined, interconnected with other believers. God has designed us so that we will never reach our full potential alone. We have to be with others. That's how the iron sharpens iron. That's how we grow and to encourage one another. We each have our part. One is the hand, one is the arm, one is, you know, we're all connected as each one does their part. How can we encourage one another if we're not together? How can we do that? Next, we see that there are mountains to be leveled. That's where we have excess. One of the things that's so easy for any of us is pride. This message isn't for me. I've already got that down. I've got it together. I'm really good in that. That's how we sometimes think. Or every time something goes wrong, it's always the other guy. Always an excuse. Or they don't understand me. Nobody understands me. Or maybe we always see the better way. We always see a way better than what the established way or the way everybody else is going. We see the better way. Sometimes we're just so proud of our intellect and our ability to reason and understand. We just think too much of ourselves. Maybe we need to knock down that pride a little bit and level that road. A little bit of excess there, sort of a mountain in our life. Maybe the mountain is presumption. We presume that God will bless us even when we're in sin. That God's going to take care of us and give us everything that we want, everything that we need, even though we're not following Him. We look at a promise in the Bible or something, but if you know, every promise has a condition too, right? You know that? I will do this if you do this, when you do this. But we don't look at the when you do this part. We just say, hey, come on, God, where's my whatever? We think that He'll just forgive us even when there's not true repentance. We expect God's work to work, His Word to work for us all the time because we're special. That kind of thinking can make it hard for God to move in our life. It does. It makes it rough, you know, what ends up doing is getting us into all kind of trouble. The biggest mountain that we will have to face will always somehow be connected to ourself. We're the mountain. We need to level that mountain a little bit sometimes, right? Knock it down some. Another thing we need to do to prepare a way for the Lord is to make crooked roads straight. That can be areas where we have distorted or twisted or crooked ideas that are pulling us away from God. And man, there's a lot of that today in the world and, sad to say, in the church. It's amazing how many well-meaning Christians believe that things that are contrary to God's Word, it's sort of like God's Word is really a 7-Eleven store. It's a convenience store. We pick and choose whatever Scripture we want to believe. Many believe that a loving God would never send anyone to hell. And yet, God speaks about it all the time. Many believe that there's all kinds of ways to get to heaven. There are many paths. Whereas Jesus said there's one way. Anyone tries to come in by any other way is a thief and a robber. Many believe that you can serve and honor God, even in the ministry, living sexually perverted lifestyles like homosexuality today. People think that it's just fine to even be in ministry. In fact, you can even be any sex you want today. You can change your sex. If I don't like being a man, I'll be a woman. If I don't want to be a man or a woman, I'll be something. I don't know what, but they got, I forgot how many different classifications they got now. It's totally ridiculous. I think the Bible said something like male and female, he made them. Do we remember that? All these other ideas are, politely, I guess I could say hogwash or baloney. Many believe that the Holy Spirit isn't for today. And yet the Bible says that we can't even please God if we're not led by the Holy Spirit. Many believe that we each can have our own truth, that truth is relative. Crazy. It's not. Truth is truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. He is the truth. His word is truth. And we can base our life on that word. When we listen to our hearts, which how many times people say that? I'm just listening to my heart. God knows my heart. I've heard that so many times. And it's the human logic that comes in. We think we are wise. And what does God say about the wisdom of this world? It's like, what is it? What? Foolishness, yeah. It's foolishness to him. So these are all like crooked paths that will lead us who knows where. So we need to make those crooked paths straight. And then finally we have the rough road, or the rough ways. And those are, I was thinking of those as like the bumps that are making, things that get in the way. You know, you're driving, and you're banging, you're driving over this, and you're driving over that. These are all the different things that are getting in the way. They're things. Things. Things like money. Things like TV or sports or videos or computers or work or whatever it might be. It might be drugs or partying or, I mean, it could be leisure, it could be power, it could be anything. All these different things, the things that are not of God, things that entice our flesh. And they make our road really bumpy when it comes to getting close to God, because we think we're on the way and then all of a sudden we hit this bump. And that's all we care about, because that's it sets us off. And we forget about God again. The truth is that we've all got things. All of us, every one of us, blocking or hindering us from allowing God to move freely in our life. And that's why he wants us to make the path straight, fill in the valleys, level the mountains. Make ready a way for the Lord. If we think that there's nothing wrong with our approach, then we're wrong right there. Because it says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we've all got some of these. Some more than others. Some this thing more, some that thing more. But thank God he's told us exactly what we need to do in here to prepare our hearts. And we can look back to John the Baptist for the answer. In Mark 1:4, he says, "And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of," who knows what? "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Everything that we looked at here, everything that we talked about here, they can all be dealt with the same way. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter if it's low, if it's high, if it's crooked, if it's straight, if it's too much, if it's too little, if it's crazy, if it's wild. It doesn't matter. There's still one way to deal with it. We humble ourselves and we go before the Lord and we repent of those things that have gotten in our way. What is it that gets in our way? What is stopping us? What? See, God wants us to make a way, prepare a way, make ready a way. What gets in our way? Why aren't we moving forward like we want to? Why aren't we growing like we want to? Why aren't we blossoming? Why aren't we filled with God's peace? Why don't we have God's joy? Why are we still dealing with the same thing we dealt with 10, 15, 20 years ago? And so God's saying we need to get rid of those things. Fill in the valleys. Level the mountains. Make a way. It's repentance that prepares the way for the Lord. That was the message of John the Baptist. That was the message that Jesus preached even too. It's the message that God speaks to us today, to repent of our sins. It's the brokenness that comes from repentance. When we are broken before God, when we truly break down before God, there's a new bond that opens up every time. Every time there's a true brokenness. See, we can't be casual repenters where we just flippantly say, "Sorry, Lord." If somebody really hurts you and then they sort of turn around and say, "Sorry," and just walk out the door, does that really move you? Less of self and more of Christ is the answer. And so that means we have to be broken. A brokenness has to be there. John 3:30, "He must become greater, I must become less." That's what John the Baptist said. And as we think less of ourselves and more about Christ, it becomes easier and easier then to repent of those things which displease God. Because we've all got them. Then we can come to Him and walk in with Him and come to Him in love. And what tells us in Matthew 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. See, when there's true repentance, then there'll be fruit that will come out of that. Whenever there's true repentance, some fruit will come out of that. John the Baptist ushered in the ministry of Jesus because he had an obedient life. A life of repentance. And he was that voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make ready a way for the Lord. Prepare ye the way for the Lord." He didn't pamper himself with the pleasure of this world, that's for sure. Wearing camel hair, eating locusts. You know, he knew, he saw that this world was temporary. He just didn't care. He saw through the allure of this world. And sometimes that can be very alluring. But he saw that it was something that was passing away, something that was rotting and rusting and just going to be burned up and destroyed. And he could see through that into the glorious kingdom, into eternity. And that's where God wants us to be able to see, to envision where he's bringing us, what our inheritance will be that's stored up in heaven for us. All John wanted to do was prepare a way for the king. And now it's our job. We have the same privilege. We can be the same voice crying out in the wilderness, in the desert. And this world right now is like a wilderness, like a desert, needing to hear the truth of salvation, of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was preparing the way for the king. And now we can do that. We can help. We can help other people to know that the king is coming. I was envisioning a horse going down the road, and the guy with his fancy getup on, you know, that I don't know if you remember, and they had the hat, and they had the big horn with the flag coming down. You remember, you seen those, like in King Arthur movies and stuff like that? And, you know, make way for the king, make way, he is great and awesome, he has saved me, make way for the king. That's the kind of life that we should live. You know, he's changed my life forever. Make way for the king of glory, that the king of glory may come in, that the king of glory, who is this king of glory? The Lord God Almighty, mighty in heaven and earth. He's prepared a place for us. And now he says, just make a way for me to get in your life. Find a way so I can come to you, so I can spend time with you. Make some kind of way. Make the effort. Make a way. Be like John, who not only made a way in his own life, but even helped others to find the way. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you did make a way to get hold of us, that you found a way to get hold of us, Lord God. And I pray that we ourselves now would take on the job that you've entrusted to us to open up our hearts, to make a way for you to be with us always, to open up our lives, to open up our minds, to open up our hearts, to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to not be satisfied with the things of this world, but to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, help us. Help us to make ready a way for you, Lord God, to fill in the valleys, to level the mountains, to make the crooked path straight and to make the rough road smooth, to make a straight path for us to get to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Prayer team's up here. If you guys need prayer for anything, maybe you want to find that way. You're looking to get close to God. Come on up here. Let them pray for you. I can only imagine, I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, one will my heart feel. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.